Thank you, everybody. And now, here's Connie.
Thank you, Ed. That was beautiful. What a great start for my talk this morning on the chapter called Finding Life's Riches. Finding Life's Riches. What a powerful concept. And in this chapter, Ernest Holmes describes what is essentially the process of spiritual mind treatment, where we identify what we want, we align with spirit, we express our willingness to receive by setting our intention and imagining it done, let it go, trust and watch it play out in our lives. And it's about opening to receive. And I, in the middle of thinking about this chapter, remembered a moment in my life when I was driving up Fairfax County Parkway in the snow, in a snowstorm, after seeing a concert with Carrie at George Mason University when she was working there. And I heard in my head guidance that said, practice unconditional receiving. And I thought, whoa, that's a new thought. I've always heard about unconditional love, unconditional giving, but unconditional receiving. And as I drove home in the snow, which is not my favorite thing to do, I contemplated that idea, and I realized that there was someone in my life that I was having a disturbance with that was trying to give me something of great value, and I wouldn't receive it because I was mad. And I just wasn't open to allowing a gift from that particular source. And what Spirit told me was practice unconditional receiving. There is always this beautiful source of well-being that is giving to us endlessly, but we can't outline how it's coming. We have to open to infinite possibilities, expected and unexpected, that our good can come. And Ernest Holmes talks about that in this segment of the book. The book is called How to Change Your Life. And he talks about this idea of not outlining, is how he called it, just letting go of the way it has to come and learning to follow the inspired action, knowing that inspired action is always for the good of everyone, that it is an expansive thought, an expanded idea. And as I contemplated this chapter, it took me on a journey through rabbit hole after rabbit hole that was very fun and enlightening, and I got inspired to study Maslow's hierarchy again. And he describes how there's this hierarchy of needs, and the first need is physiological. We better eat and drink and sleep. And then there's safety needs. We need to feel safe. And then there's love and belonging and self-esteem and self-actualization. And all of these are needs, and people move through them one at a time. And then I came across a video that said, You can think of these as needs, but I don't, this guy said. I think of them as motivators. So he gave the example of if someone's looking for a job, the first one might be because they aren't feeling well and they want to be able to pay for a doctor. The second level might be that they need to pay their rent. The third might be that they are lonely and they want connection and hope to join a team. The fourth might be that they don't feel good about themselves and they want to feel productive and have self-esteem. Self-actualization, he describes as a feeling on purpose of knowing that you're guided in your life and you're doing something that's valuable for you to do. And so I thought that was an interesting move in the perception of this list from a need to a motivation, that you can be taking essentially the same action, in this case looking for a job, from all these different places. And that maybe it's not hierarchical, maybe it's actually maneuverable. And that was a cool idea. I like that. And then I came across one that said that in his latter part of his life, Maslow added a sixth level that he called transcendence. And when I listened to the videos of transcendence, I thought, oh my God, that's science of mind. That's the mystical life. And every religion has a mystical path. There are beautiful mystical teachings in every religion. And that just this morning, I saw a note from a friend of mine who was quoting somebody saying that religious people do what they're told and spiritual people do what's right. And I said, you know, I appreciate the idea of choosing to do what you think is right, but I prefer both ands to even or, either or, because there are these beautiful mystical paths of truth and expansion in every religion. It isn't exclusive of religion. It's actually inclusive of religion. The picture of God includes all of it. It's bigger than all of it. And each path up the mountain is a way of finding God, but the mountain and the path, every one of them is God itself. So as we come back to this idea of oneness and science of mind, I get all excited because that's the part of it that really has inspired me for many, many years. I came to science of mind because it was satisfying to my mind. It took what had not worked for me in the paths I'd explored before that because I couldn't make any sense of them. They did not make sense to me. And you know, from crying as an 11-year-old as I was going to bed because my father was going to hell because he didn't go to church on Sunday, I just knew that some of these things I was being taught didn't make any sense, and I needed sense. And man, when I first found this philosophy, suddenly there was a path that made sense to my mind, and the longer I studied it, the more it took me into my heart. And the opportunity to open my mind and my life to more love. So I'm going through all these rabbit holes and I'm getting more excited, and it's taken me more and more directions. And then I found some stuff about the transcendence that's described by Ken Wilber in Spiral Dynamics. And then I found that there is a version of that that's called Integral Dynamics and Integral Being, which is very much like the transcendence that Maslow was describing and the mystical path. And I watched a video of that early this morning that described the situation in the world as being a breakdown of the lower dynamics to allow for the revealing of the higher dynamics. And that felt inspiring to me. I really appreciated it, what he was saying, although for me, he talked too fast and he swore a lot, and I didn't really like that. But the ideas he was expressing were inspiring. And so I was having to let go of judgment and open my mind to feel how I felt about what he was saying, and what he was saying was inspiring. And I kept running into things that were inspiring and connecting with people who were inspiring. And I heard from a friend of mine, and he was asking questions about his life, and he says, I'm his favorite teacher, which is amazing to me because he's someone I've never met who lives across the ocean, and he loves my website. It's amazing to me that anybody goes to my website, and he listens to my talks and he finds them inspiring. And so I was telling him that I was preparing for this talk, and he sent me a note yesterday that said, as you start your Saturday, just wanted to remind you that you make the world a better and kinder place just because you are you and the fact that you're here. And so I want to say that to all of you, just as he said it to me and I said it back to him. Just want to remind you that you make the world a better and kinder place just because you are you and the fact that you're here. And Felissa sent me a wonderful video this morning of excellent spiritual teachers saying that in the most fun way I've ever seen. You go, girl. It was great. And there are these places that we can be affirmed like that. We can remember who we are and allow ourselves to claim our worth and our value and our well-being. And that's really what Science of Mind is all about. But I also found it in Abraham, when they said, there is such value in just being. There is such value in getting so general, there aren't even words that are forming in your mind or coming off your tongue. So general that you just feel the eternal, ever-flowing experience of love and appreciation flowing to you. You are loved. I am loved. We are loved. Loved, supported, and supplied. So, as I looked at all of these videos, I was taking notes, and I loved that they were describing this transcendent experience as peak experiences we could get in meditation, but we could also get in bird watching. We could get it through music, either performing it or listening to it. We could get it by being a speaker. We could get it by reclusive contemplation. We could get it by loving and caring for children or allowing ourselves to experience and express joy. We could get it by listening to our inner guidance, by taking time on our own. And all of those things are things that we are encouraged to do inside the mind. Those experiences of meditation and prayer and connection to Source, that's the love that we are opening to experience and express, the love that God is, being the life that God is. We are that. It's remarkable. And I always say when I teach treatment that if you get to the place where you finish step one, what God is, and you get to step two and say, I am that, if you don't say, wow, go back and do it again, because God is infinite and eternal and expansive. And when I really take in that I am infinite and eternal and expansive, I've got to say, wow, wow, that's incredible. Wow. So there is such love. There is such love. And bringing it back to the simpleness of life's riches. Reverend Jane Beach, who's a friend of mine on Facebook, posted, Bob, you need to mute, please. Jane posted, I love my simple life. I treasure small moments of peace and find myself grateful to be alive. I find beauty and meaning hidden in plain sight. I love the everyday, ordinary miracles that are everywhere. Embracing these moments deepens my understanding of myself and my place in the world. My life is good. Oh yeah, my life is good. What a great place to be. Thich Nhat Hanh said, smile to yourself. Smile to your body. Become aware that the blue sky, white clouds, and stars are all above you and all around you. The earth is holding you in its tender embrace. You are in a state of total rest. You have nothing to do and nowhere to run to. Everything you need is right here in this moment. And you smile. A friend of mine wrote an article about smiling that she sent to me this week that shows that just the choice to smile, even when there's nothing to smile about, changes the chemistry of your body and your brain and allows your body to release more life-giving positive chemicals. So finding that place of peace, that's what inspires me about life's riches. When I'm in that place of peace, I experience the richness of my life. As Val said about me earlier, that she said, I'm one of the richest people she knows. And I love my friends because you guys love me so beautifully. I just am surrounded by love. And my life wasn't always like that. So I am so grateful for that, and for the hearts going by on the screen at the moment. That's such a great, great feeling. Thank you for that. So as I often do, I ended up in my own books after I went through all the rabbit holes. I ended up with the fourth book of Chatting with the Beloved, and the first one that I want to share with you is called Bridge the Gap. And I said to B, I just realized I don't feel safe around people who project a lot of emotional intensity. It's like my circuits get overloaded and I feel attacked. And I said, I know it's a misperception. I know intellectually that this is a loving, friendly universe where you are here with me in every moment. So I know when I'm not feeling relaxed and loved, I'm using a filter of fear to look at my life. And B said, we're really pleased that you have identified your feelings so accurately. Well done. We are also delighted that even within your discomfort, you remember your experience of misperception. Life is all about perception. And I said, so what I want to know now is how to bridge the gap between feeling unsafe, yet knowing intellectually that I live in a friendly universe. And B said, begin by amplifying what you know about the friendly universe. And I said, you and I have talked our way through 3 books and hundreds of pages about the omnipresence of love, B. I get it sometimes. And at some level, I'm always love supported and supplied by love itself. That's you, B, the beloved God. You are my beloved source and supply. You have told me that my job is to let you meet my needs, that I am not a needy being. We are not needy beings. You've said we're divine beings, all of us, no one excluded or set to the side, each one supported, loved, and supplied. I believe you, be. Now I want to perceive that truth in the world around me, not just when I'm here quietly writing in my notebook. Is that possible, be? He said, not just possible, likely. You often feel peaceful and relaxed in your life. We've talked about consciously choosing to see the world through a filter of grace. I said, yes, I love that phrase, a filter of grace. I want to bring a soothing, loving filter to everything I experience. They said, good, C, what else do you want? I said, I want to feel loved, B. I want to live loved. I want to remember that you're constantly here in my life, loving, supporting, and supplying me. I want to remember that well-being abounds. I want to feel connected. I want to feel happy, relaxed, and peaceful even more of the time. He said, excellent. You are increasingly clear about what you want. We've talked about soft willingness being the key to everything. Are you willing? I said, you've helped me see that the willingness step works best if I bring you into it, B. I'm willing to hear your guidance. I'm willing to feel your love. I'm willing to open my eyes and my heart to experience your love in more places and situations. I'm willing to feel the impulses you give me to turn this way or that spontaneously in each moment so you can help me rendezvous with the very best possible outcomes for me and everyone. I trust that you guide me for what's for the highest good of all concerned. I love that you see the broader picture and you're ever leading me to the greater revelation of the wholeness that's already here. Thank you, B. I am loved. I feel better already. And thank you for teaching me to say I am loved every time I say thank you to anyone for anything. I love that reminder that you're always here with me, arranging everything I need. I feel the flow in that process, B. Thank you. I am loved. B said, you're welcome. We love that you remember so often that you're loved, and you've made it a habitual practice to remind yourself. Flowing gratitude is valuable, not because we need it. We give to you endlessly and unconditionally. It's valuable because it brings you into alignment. Well done. That felt good. I really liked that one. So I kept going. And I said, He went on to say later, you can never exhaust the infinite. There will be always more to take in and experience. I said, that's a powerful promise, B. Always more love to take in and experience. And B said, always more love to give out and express too. Giving and receiving love is so beautiful. A conversation like this, where I feel myself resting in the heart of God, warm, cozy, loved, and loving, is priceless. Alone in this moment, I am exquisitely accompanied by the beloved, by the magnificent and entirely personal omnipresence of love. I feel so blessed, B. I wish other people could know you as I do, B. And B said, each one is supported, loved, and supplied. Each one has a relationship with us that is as much as they are able to experience and express. When they ask for more, as you did and do, there is always more. I love that. And another time I went on and B said, when you've been taught by a well-meaning culture that there's much to fear and worry over, learning to focus on love can take a little time and effort. Just being willing to take a little time each morning to tune to love on purpose can make a big difference. And I said, I should be doing that. And they said, we're not handing down commandments. Love that. Most days now you turn to love without thinking about it. This morning you needed to do it on purpose because the movie you saw last night reinforced some old patterns of feeling like a victim. You rarely feel that way anymore, but you once did. When you inadvertently get focused somewhere that doesn't feel good, getting out your pen and notebook and amplifying something that feels really good to you gets you back on track. Whether you do it as you did this morning and tell a story about your life that felt wonderful, or whether you simply write a list of I loves, you tune back into love pretty easily now. At one time, you had to be a lot more disciplined about it. I said, practice makes perfect. They said, practice greases the wheels. There will always be a lot of thoughts floating around that can distract you from love if you let them. But the good news is that now you know what to do. Tune back to love so you feel the thoughts that don't serve you more intensely. I said, that's true. Seeing someone as a victim doesn't feel good, B. They said it never did, C, but before you didn't know you had a choice. Now you are empowered to remember that everyone is loved, supported, and supplied all the time. So you feel the discord much more intensely when you forget and see them as powerless. And I said, or feel myself as powerless. And they said, that's the worst feeling of all, because it is so different from the truth we know of you. You are a powerful, beautiful, glorious being of light and love. When you are completely free, while you are completely free to see yourself differently than we see you, it's never going to feel good. I said, and I'm glad of that, B. I love that you are always calling me to remember who I truly am. I appreciate your watching over me. And B said, every time. I said, that brought tears to my eyes, B. I feel your love. And they said, we're glad, C, for we are here loving you. And everyone. Every time. I have often told a story about how I had the experience with a lifeguard when I was alone at the pool and the lifeguard got up on the lifeguard stand to watch me, even though I was the only one there. And as I was coming out, I thanked him. And I said, thank you for watching over me. And he said, every time. And I had goosebumps all over my body because I could feel the power of that intention and his connection with Source that he was expressing. And Abraham had a conversation with a guy once. I've told this story many times. I know most of you have heard it several times. But this guy sat down in the hot seat with Abraham and said, "When I call out to you, Abraham, do you ever hear me?" And Abraham said, "Every time." And I was in the room and I had goosebumps all over again. And then somebody in the room shouted out, "We didn't hear the question." And Abraham said, "You got to admit, that was funny." And she asked him to repeat the question. And he said, "I call out to you in my mind. Do you hear me?" And you said, "Yes." And Abraham said, "We didn't say yes. We said every time." Every time. We are ever accompanied. We are never alone. There is always this exquisite blanket of love wrapped around us. We are resting in the heart of God. And sometimes we know it, and sometimes we forget. But it's there every time. Every time. And if we can begin to remember and do the things that help us focus and return to our awareness of the love. Meditation and prayer, tuning to love. I love that they included bird watching in the list. Being out in nature, being outside, watching the sky and the stars, and doing yoga. Being with in community with friends. There are so many things that we can do that let us feel the love that's here for us every time. And the more we practice, for me, it was sitting down and writing love lists, pages and pages, 28 pages one day in my notebook, of sentences starting with words I love. Just tuning myself to the beauty of life, to the richness of life. That's how I found life's riches. That's what worked for me. Your path may be very different from mine, but the guidance is within you. I hope that listening to me cry, Bethany always gives me permission. She says, "You always cry, don't worry about it." I'm grateful for that. I hope that I can remind you that your path is perfect and you are ever loved, supported, and supplied. And your willingness to open to receive by tuning to love is the key as I understand it. And you'll find your own way to do that. You may already know what it is. You may be experimenting. You know, I've experimented so much in my life. Art forms. I experimented with so many different art forms, painting and making bracelets and who knows what else before I focused on bird photography, which has been doing it every day for 5 years for me now. But that willingness to explore life and to go in this direction and then to turn when you're inspired to go in another direction, and being kind to yourself in the moments when you're not feeling good. Being kind to yourself instead of beating yourself up and criticizing yourself for not doing it right, but bringing that tenderness and that love to that sweet being that is the truth of who you are. Loving yourself is the path to self-transcendence, because you embrace the wholeness of yourself that goes beyond. It goes beyond. I had a quote about that. I wonder if I can find it. maybe I can't. But what was said in the infinite way, though I have half of it, Joel Goldsmith said, "You may be assured of this: if your body is lying on the floor lifeless, you would still be looking out at him, because this you is not embraced in a frame. This you is not embraced in a frame. The you of you is external to your body, as I am. And I am is God." From Joel Goldsmith, The Infinite Way, Letters. Oof. It's been a journey for me. I took you on a journey. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to do this. It's such a blessing to be open to the love and to feel the power of who we all are, to recognize the beauty and the harmony and the grace of each one, all of the beautiful smiles and the tears that match mine today. Thank you. And so it is. Ernest Holmes in 365 Science of Mind for October 1st said, "Every worthy desire of my heart is fulfilled. When the dawn breaks and the shadows flee, when the hills are touched with the rosy glow of the sun's first rays, I wake to the thought that I am one with all life. I lift mine eyes to the eastern sky and sing with the joy of one who beholds the eternal presence in everything. I permit my mind to become saturated with the divine ideal. In everything I do, I sense the divine presence, sustaining, upholding, and guiding me. I rejoice in my unity with all power. I know that I am not isolated from the all good, but I am one with it. I know there is a divine pilot steering my boat safely to a harbor of peace, to an environment of happiness, and to a haven of good. Therefore, I am not afraid, even when the billows roll and the wind sweeps by, for there is a divine hand guiding my ship. There is an invisible presence at the wheel. I lift the sails of faith and let the wind of love fill them with the mighty power of the divine presence. My boat rides upon a sea of pure spirit and finds safe anchorage everywhere, always." In fact, every time. So here's Ed.